is the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire, saying hello to you all over the USA and the world. Because after all, as Bible prophecy teaches us, we are in the middle of the rise of what was once called the New World Order. Now it's called the Global Reset. A one-world economic system, a one-world government, and a one-world religion that had its first appearance in ancient Babylon at the time of the Tower of Babel. And so the political, economic, and spiritual slash occult system known as Mystery Babylon ruled the world's first one-world government until God came down and judged it and warned the human race. I'm going to give you a translation. His warning was essentially, don't try it again, or the consequences will be permanent. And so mankind is trying it again. The very thing warned about in the book of Revelation, Mystery Babylon, the great harlot, and unfortunately I have to translate the word harlot because it's not a contemporary term anymore. It would be translated the great whore, the great prostitute, Mystery Babylon, as a Luciferian global religious system. Now let's get right down to the nitty-gritty here. Who rules the world? Who controls this world? Do you think that this world is controlled by the people or organizations that you have been taught to believe control the world? Or is this world controlled by a small handful of men and maybe women who have made some kind of deal with the devil? Perhaps they've sold their souls to the devil in one way or another. Now, you can sell your soul to the devil. He offers many financial plans. You can sell your soul to the devil and make your payments on time. You can get a flexible rate mortgage, or you can get a guaranteed lock-in rate. There's many ways the devil will always make it easy. I don't mean to laugh because it's tragic. But the devil wants you to sign a contract with him, one way or another. So whatever it takes, he will do. Now, you've got to know going in, which most people don't. The devil, the Bible says, has been a liar from the beginning. Satan is the father of lies. Lucifer is the master of deception. So why on earth would you make a deal with the devil expecting to come out on top in the long term? He has no intention of fulfilling his commitments to you in the long term. So could it be that over thousands of years, the devil handpicked or approached various men and women and families, what are often called bloodline families. I deal with that in my book, Conquering the Matrix. Bloodline families are the elite Illuminati bloodline families that are genetically connected. They're connected through the DNA. Sometimes they're referred to as Illuminati bloodline families. That's where you got the term, things like blue bloods and the royal families of Europe, whose wealth goes back sometimes 1,000 years or more. That takes, when you can find ways to maneuver around the economic system, which the royal families have, you become, they're kings and queens. They operate under a different set of laws and economics than the average person does. So, when you research this topic and you look for proper documentation so you're not flying off into the Twilight Zone or Area 51 or whatever, it becomes very apparent that this entire planet Earth global governance system, the United Nations and the globalists, I don't know, it was about 15 or 20 years ago, they changed the name. They were always promoting global government, global government, global government, but they got a bad rap. Global government became synonymous with global totalitarian government. So they changed the name of the term to global governance and actually published a thick book on it, which I read. I bought the book. I read the book because I wanted to see if there were any real changes. There weren't changes. It was just camouflage. Now, in our time period, going forward, 25 years or so, in our time period, like now, they have decided that the term New World Order, that is now synonymous with totalitarianism, a global police state or dictatorship. So they realize that the term New World Order is not a good thing. So using PR and advertising and marketing techniques, they simply changed the term New World Order to the Global Reset. The Global Reset. And the Global Reset, just like global governance, is a term designed to camouflage or disguise what the real agenda is. Like, what is the real agenda of the United Nations Agenda 2030? What's the real agenda? What's the real agenda behind sustainability and the green movement and environmentalism? What is the real agenda? Not what they're saying it is. Because they're saying one thing, and all these people are doing something entirely different in their private lives. Al Gore goes around, speaking at conferences, which is fine, but he sits in his own giant private jet, or formerly a government jet, a giant jet, not a little tiny jet, a big gas-guzzling jet. And he also heats up his Olympic-sized swimming pool. So in his personal life, he doesn't practice sustainable policies. He isn't cutting back privately on his personal energy consumption. In other words, he talks a big talk about going green, but privately the only green he's going is green cash, which will end soon because they want total control over the money, which means they've got to have a cashless society, a digital currency, which will, for security reasons or whatever, end up being implanted in human beings, either through a nanochip implant, DNA implant, biochip, microchip implant, computer brain interfaces that are wireless, wireless computer brain interfaces that connect with satellite. So, where am I going with this? And by the way, the Bible, interestingly enough, the Bible predicts all of this. All the major things of importance that I just outlined for you, the Bible predicts in many parts of the Bible, but specifically in the book of Revelation, where it talks about all this stuff. Think of it. The Bible in the book of Revelation talks about all this stuff. It talks about some of this stuff in Genesis. I've spent my entire life studying this stuff. And people think, what are you talking about, Paul? You say you started your research in third grade. Well, I actually did start my research in third grade, but that's not very believable to people. So I don't always say it, but it's true. Because I was on a search for the meaning of life when I was a kid. Remember, I was raised with no answers. I was raised in an atheist household in New York City. Secular humanists. We didn't believe in God. I was taught to laugh at and scorn and mock Christianity. That was how I was raised. This is hard for some of you to understand if you were raised in different environments. But in our house on Sunday morning, we didn't go to church. We didn't go to church. We didn't go to a synagogue on Saturday. What we did is we had the New York Times delivered. The Sunday edition of the New York Times used to be a huge, thick Sunday edition with all kinds. I mean, it was huge. But the New York Times on Sunday morning was our family's Bible, so to speak. And we would fight over it. The kids would, we would fight with our parents, you know, to see who could grab the arts and entertainment section, who could grab the sports section, or if there was a hot article. Back then, the New York Times was a lot better. The New York Times helped radicalize me when I was a young child, too. Anyway, so I didn't have any religious upbringing, per se. So I was, you model your some of your beliefs after your parents. And so I looked at I was taught that Christianity was a religion for losers. And essentially, that's what my father and mother told me. You know, Paul, because I would ask some questions occasionally. We didn't know any born-again Christians. I never met a born-again Christian in my entire life growing up in New York City. Occasionally, somebody would leave one of those tracts, which I used to mock. But you know, those shit tracks actually are highly effective because they get into your brain and you can't get it out of your brain. And they preach the gospel. So thank God for that. And I was taught literally, so don't get offended. I'm just telling you about my childhood. Your childhood was not as explicit as mine. I apologize, but I can't censor my testimony and then expect anybody to be able to relate to it. So I was literally taught by my mother and father and their friends, New York intellectuals, who know everything, by the way. I was taught that Christians are anti-life, anti-joy, and anti-sex. It's pretty condemning, huh? And I had no respect for Christians. Well, I didn't know any Christians, but Christianity was not a religion I was interested in. Okay, so I had to search for answers for myself. So, you know, I was in the New Age movement. I got involved in radical politics. I experimented deeply with altered states of consciousness and all kinds of things. On a quest for truth. And the initial seeds of that quest for truth began to expand when in third grade, I had to read George Orwell's 1984 and Aldous Huxley's Brave New World. And it was like somebody put a stick of dynamite in my brain and it exploded. And I understood what was happening in the sociopolitical reality all around me on a level I'd never understood it before. I understood what they were talking about in those two books. My teachers did not. My fellow students did not. My teachers were clueless, you know. Clueless. So that sent me on a pilgrimage, but I didn't. That doesn't mean I headed it off in the right direction. Yeah, I was on a pilgrimage, all right. But I forgot the name of that famous football player. I think it was a famous football player who ran like crazy and caught the ball, and then it turns out he ran in the wrong direction and lost the game for his team. Well, I was in a pilgrimage, but I was like running in the wrong direction, getting involved in the cult and the New Age, drugs, rebellion, radical politics, rock and roll, the whole thing. And I began to realize I eventually was miraculously saved. And then I began to rethink. See, I made a choice. When I got saved, that was totally by the grace of God. His Spirit, God arranged for some miracles, some very powerful miracles to happen, which I've talked about in another program and in the books. Very powerful miracles happened, and I was saved. My life was turned around. And then because I had the Spirit of God, Jesus Christ, inside of me, I began to have a hunger for truth. So I began to study the Bible on a deeper level, philosophy, art, culture. I began to analyze all this according to a biblical worldview. So I made the conscious decision with my mind and my will. I made the conscious decision to not only invite Jesus Christ or surrender my life to Jesus Christ as Lord, but to seek out the truth. And it was a very slow and difficult process because I was bombarded, like most people are today, with propaganda and lies. And over decades of research, because I was very skeptical, and I remain skeptical, unless I have documentation or facts to prove whatever the hypothesis is, you know, I'm not going to go along with it. So a couple of days ago, or yesterday, I was working on a new book, writing a series of articles on some of this stuff for Godspeed magazine. And I was rereading the let's just call it the family tree of the Rothschild family. Because they, of course, were prime financiers of the Illuminati, et cetera, et cetera. And I was rereading their family lineage and what they owned and what they controlled and the whole story of the Rockefeller family. Was, you know, I've read it many times, but rereading it over and over again, you deep dive, dig deep, and find out a lot more. So that was in my brain. Okay, that was embedded in my brain because that was like a day or two ago. No, it was yesterday. So today, somebody, thank God, sends me a email containing an article and a video, and I read the article, planned to see the video, and it began to talk about stuff that I've been writing about in my books, except this was the most up-to-date data, and it was data that was documented. And it confirmed what I've already written about and talked to you about and what I've written about in my books, like A Prophecy of the Future of America, Volume 1 and 2. And Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World. So I already knew a lot of the facts, and I put the facts in my book, and I talked to you about the facts on the air. Essentially, the main fact that you have to know, but it's just the key to the door, is that only 1% of the Earth's population, just 1% of the Earth's population, which we can call the globalist elite, they control 99% of all the resources, assets, money, property, et cetera, et cetera. So what we have is a classic pyramid structure, control, and organizational flowchart. The top 1%, the richest and most powerful people in the world, they are only 1% of the global population, but they control 99% of all the wealth. You see how upside down that is? it's upside down because they're not taxed anywhere near what their fair share should be. And as you know, I'm not a socialist, I'm not a communist, I'm not a Marxist, but never before, it's just another one of these last days statistics, never before in the history of mankind has so much wealth and power and assets and property and money, never before in human history has so much wealth been concentrated and controlled by the hands of just a tiny few globalist elite families. I mean, it caught my eye on Drudge Report. This was about a week ago. And it was one of these click things. It was a news story, but it was a click thing like, oh, it was letting you see. I forgot who it was. I think it was Jeff Bezos's yacht. And this thing, I don't know what it was, 300 million or 350 million, but they had the yachts of a bunch of super billionaires and pictures of the outside of the yacht and the interior of the yachts. And these yachts were like a combination of spaceships and the most elegant and artistically designed, you know, with massive ballrooms with chandeliers and multiple helicopter landing on the yachts. And one yacht, I forgot who it was one of the big billionaires, one of the big tech guys. And his yacht has a really high-end, small but kind of large submarine, so he can from his yacht play around, you know, deep sea diving in his own private luxury submarine, and then he has two helicopters, and they all come out of the boat, and then you know they will do similar pictorials of the houses and homes of these billionaires and the 1%, and the wealth and the opulence and the majesty of their properties, their holdings, their homes, their castles. I mean, it's obscene. It's not obscene because there's anything wrong with wealth. Don't get me wrong. Nothing wrong with wealth. But this is wealth that it has now become a monopoly. And this is what I want to talk about. Because where we are in society is this 1%, the globalist elite, is attempting to control. Well, not it's not attempting to control. Let me clarify my words. It is already controlling the world, the governments of the world. And now we've come to the time where the gloves are off and they're in the process of taking control of you and me and every other man, woman, and child alive. The masks, the Illuminati ballroom masks are off the face. Now you can see the hideous evil behind the masks. So I was reading this article, and it was talking about two major investment firms. If I name them out loud, chances are most of you would know of at least one of the investment firms. And chances are most of you would know both of the investment firms. And as I studied this article, the article revealed that the globalist elite, the wealthiest families in the world, like the Rothschilds and others, they control, and they do it in a very complicated way, so it's kind of like hidden. It's hidden in plain sight, but it's done with a complexity that makes it difficult for the average person, the average researcher or whatever, to really pin down who owns the wealth, who owns the control, et cetera, et cetera. But through, let's just call it this way, the globalist elite, the richest people in the world, the most powerful people in the world, like the Rothschilds, essentially through two front companies, which are massive investment companies, these two massive front companies that the globalist elite secretly own and control, the front companies own all of the mainstream media, at least 90% of the media they own and control. 90% of the media. They own and control Big Pharma. And you could go down the list. They own the majority of the S&P 500. They own the economy. They own the governments. They own the politicians. And they were talking about this very famous Rothschild calling up like 100, getting 100 top multinational corporation CEOs, you know, like the kind that would have the power to own Coca-Cola or Pepsi-Cola, or, you know, I'm using that as an example. So the Rothschild calls, gets all these 100 of the top CEOs on the phone and demands that laws are passed. And what the laws that the Rothschild wants passed are laws which don't allow election accountability, don't allow making sure that elections have integrity. Now, why would they want to do that? Because they want to control the outcome of elections. They have no intention of allowing the American people or people anywhere else in planet Earth to control the destiny of their own nation. So, you see, we now have the elections being rigged. We have politics being rigged, government being rigged. You just name just about anything you want. Big Pharma being rigged, the media being rigged. It's all rigged. Well, what does rigged mean? It's controlled by a powerful force that we can call the globalist elite. Now, where most people need to become educated, this article was very good up till a certain point. You have to kind of cross barriers in your mind to get to the root source, the head of the octopus. Because there is a head of the octopus. What the article didn't go into is that these globalist elite families that control essentially everything, they are also part of very powerful secret societies. The name of the secret societies are not important because, for crying out loud, they change the names of the secret societies all the time. So don't get hung up over a name. They can change the name tomorrow. But it would be secret societies that they belong to, like the Illuminati and Skull and Bones and many, many others, and the Bilderbergs and all the rest of these groups. And these are men and women who are heads of the international banking families and the royal families of Europe, etc. And you can't understand, as a scholar and a constitutional attorney explained to me in Washington, D.C. one time, he said, "Paul, you cannot understand the way Washington works. You cannot understand the way anything works until you understand the role of secret societies in our world today." Now, if this man had not been so brilliant and so well-researched, I would not have believed what he said. I would have just thrown it in the trash. But what he said challenged me. Because either what he was saying was a very eloquent pitch for a conspiracy theory, or what he was saying was true. And the Lord used what he said to make kind of a flash bulb or a flash go off in my mind. And like, I had already done research on secret societies, but I decided to review them again on a deeper level. Because, you see, I'm always skeptical, so I'm not just going to read something and believe it. But, you see, where this brings us, where it brings you and me, and all seekers of truth, where this brings us really is to the place of a biblical worldview. This world is currently operating exactly the way that the Bible describes that it's operating. Nothing that I've talked about is a surprise to God, nor is it a surprise to the Bible. Everything that I've just described to you is written about in the Bible in one way or another. Okay, look, the Bible doesn't use the word Illuminati, but that doesn't mean the Bible isn't making reference quite clearly to occult religious organizations, which are essentially synonymous to the Illuminati, and that would be Mystery Babylon or other secret societies. So, where this brings us, it brings us to a place where most people in their search for truth, they stop at this point. They lack the ability of crossing over into the promised land of truth. So they stop right where we are now. But you're not going to stop. I'm not going to stop. Because our hunger for truth is greater than the barrier. Therefore, by the grace of God, we will overcome the barriers in our minds. Barriers, by the way, that the Bible specifically calls strongholds. And strongholds are satanically energized arguments against us. I write about this intensely in my book, Conquering Matrix. So it brings us to the point where we slam into the strongholds of the barriers. And what we have to understand, we have to come to the place in our life where we understand that what the Bible says about our reality and how God's word exposes our reality and how God's word depicts our reality, we have to come to the place where we're willing to put aside and we're willing to reject all the fairy tales and the myths and the made-up stories that have been programmed into our mind by our culture, by our media, by our entertainment industry. We've got to come to a place of confrontation, and most Christians won't do that. And what this place of confrontation requires is that in a spiritual sense, I'm talking about a spiritual sense, is that we take out the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and we destroy spiritually all the idols and false gods that offer false power, false knowledge, false teaching, false prophets, false doctrines, etc., etc. We must make a confrontation against the prophets of Baal. And unless we're willing to make that confrontation with the prophets of Baal, we can't proceed on ahead and discover the truth that will set us free that Jesus Christ talked about. So how do we do this? Well, the way we do it is we have to understand that what the Bible says about our reality is really true. So in a quick free fall of bullet points, you know, Satan indwelling, a serpent deceiving Adam and Eve, causing the fall of mankind, activating the law of sin and death, and Satan becomes the temporary god of this world. And he runs this world temporarily until Christ returns. Satan runs this world with an army of one-third of the angels, which are known as the fallen angels. And this army of fallen angels consists of principalities and powers, the dark unseen forces of wickedness, heavenly places, and an assortment of demons and people who have sold their soul in various ways to Satan. So he runs this world temporarily with this access of evil, or whatever you call it. Now, that's exactly what the Bible says is true. So when we come to the place in our so-called reality, when we come to the place where we collide with this truth, we have to make a choice. You have to make a choice. Church has to make a choice. Your pastor has to make a choice. You've got to choose whether or not to fully believe what God's word says and accept it, or to reject it like Adam and Eve, and to accept the lie, the deception that Lucifer offers. There's no middle ground. You're at a crossroads. You've got to go down one crossroad or another. So unless you choose the right crossroad, you can't be set free fully by the truth of God's word. You cannot understand the nature, the full nature of the reality all around us. So, and it's only when you understand the full nature of the reality all around us that you can be set free in the full sense of the word as Jesus Christ talked about, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. And we will be back in a moment. Wherever you are on planet Earth, wherever you are in the USA, you're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. You know, the Paul McGuire Report has been around for a long time, decades. The first format of the Paul McGuire Report was called the Paul McGuire Show. And that was when I was broadcasting from KBRT in Southern California. And it was a 3 to 4 hour live drive time interactive talk show that broadcasts on AM and FM stations in most of the major markets in the United States. And not only did it play in these markets, it was a God thing. I mean, really, it was the Lord. I'm laughing because none of the stuff that happened in terms of platforming and open doors, I mean, it just, things don't happen like that in the media business. So what happened was the program was 3 to 4 hours drive time. And, you know, I'm sitting in the studio in Orange County and I'm thinking about the people that are listening to the program, and that a huge percentage of the people listening to the program across the entire state of California and in many other major markets across the United States, that they're stuck in traffic. And so I have this enormously huge audience by default. In other words, if the highways and the roads and stuff, if they weren't so poorly designed and they weren't literally parking lots instead of freeways, I had a captive audience for 10 years. Because when I was broadcasting, it was either AM or FM, or people played their, you know, music CDs or stuff. The world of internet options, the world of options in your car was very limited. So when you combine that, a captive audience with people stuck in traffic everywhere, and the more they're stuck in traffic, the more likely they're going to surf the dial, and are, you know, we were right smack dab in the middle of the most highest profile stations in California on the AM dial. We were just like right in the bullseye. So people channel surfing or people landing on a channel, there'd be a high statistical probability that they would hear us. And they would stay with us, even though it was a Christian program, because we were not predictable. I was not predictable intentionally. And I didn't come off and it didn't smell like, you know, your typical Christian show. Yet, revival broke out. People got saved. People got ministered to in a huge way. And this went on for 10 years. And not only that, many of these stations that we were on across the nation would play us not only Monday through Friday drive time for 4 hours a day. Sometimes they would play the show twice or part of the show twice. So they'd be playing the program 6 hours a day all across the United States. And then on top of that, they would play the program because it was popular. They would play the program on Saturdays and Sundays. So this was the Lord. And many people accepted Christ. Many people were discipled. Many people were backslidden, came to Christ. I won't get into all that. But what there was a huge harvest spiritually. Now, when I left that company, I started a new radio program called the Paul McGuire Report. I don't know how many years we've been on the air. We've been on the air quite a few years now. And we're heard all over the world via what didn't exist back then, via the internet and social media platforms. And just like we benefited from unique things back then on the Paul McGuire Show, we benefit from the internet's ability to send your message, audio or video, anywhere in the world. Except we're under attack. Anyone speaking the truth is under attack. The forces of censorship do not, they want to control. Look, this is about, you know, I hate to sound like a ruthless promoter of my own book, but I have to be. I have to be, because we don't sell advertising. Everything we do is free, with the exception of selling books, because books have a cost to them. Everything we send out there is free, because the goal is to reach and minister to as many people as possible. So the key thing here is that, you know, knowledge is power. And this is an example of knowledge being power. What I'm talking to you about now, why knowledge is power. And what I want to remind you is that when you have knowledge, when you understand what's really going on, it gives you a tremendous advantage over people who don't know what's going on. So, okay, so what's the problem? Who's causing the censorship? Who is, let's not talk about the people on the bottom of the pyramid structure. Let's go right to the top and ask ourselves the question, who is it that is waging war against truth? Who is it that especially does not want biblical truth or a biblical worldview or Christian principles or the message of salvation in Jesus Christ? Who is it exactly who's calling the shots and flexing their muscle, trying to shut all that down and to censor it? Let's quit playing games. Who is it? All right, let's review who it could potentially be. And I'm not naming names, by the way, for obvious reasons. So if we know the fact that only 1% of the global population owns 99% of the resources, the assets, the companies, the nations, et cetera, et cetera. That's true. That's a fact. And that these globalist elite world rulers are essentially using, at this particular moment in time, two asset management companies, through which they buy, control, and invest more than 90% of the U.S. media coverage. So more than 90% of the U.S. media coverage is owned and controlled by the globalist elite. And then who is it that controls the social media giants, the big tech giants? They're just the soldiers, if you will, causing censorship. But they're not really the prime instigator of censorship. The prime instigator of censorship are these handful of globalist elite families, okay? And they're waging war against the truth. I mean, in previous years, they didn't care. They allowed a huge percentage of the truth to be released through various media. There's been, obviously, this is from an external analysis on my part, but there's obviously been a change in the strategy, the game plan, and the timetable of the globalist elite. They were, for many years, relatively content, the globalist elite, with allowing a relatively prosperous middle class, working class, in the United States and European nations like Great Britain, etc. They were allowing for a certain degree of prosperity, and they kind of like wanted to make their money and not to be interfered with and weren't interested in interfering to some degree. But it seems like they've changed their policy and they've definitely accelerated their timetable and schedule, because now they've got the pedal to the metal on the global reset. What is the global reset? Well, in a simple sentence, the global reset or the global reboot is definitely a boot. It's a boot I'm mumbling and stumbling here because I'm trying to not be profane. And I was trying to be funny. I failed miserably. I crashed and burned miserably in both areas. I was trying to say that the global reboot is a boot in the you-know-what to you. What the global reboot really is a stealth strategy of the globalist elite to control the wealth and to control the middle class and the working class. I mean, we're talking about airtight domination and control. And if you don't believe that, I don't have anything to say to you because you're deaf, dumb, and blind. Why do you think they're spending trillions of dollars on electronic artificial intelligence mass surveillance? So they can take family photos? Is that what that's about? So they own Big Pharma. They own all the mainstream media. And these two investment companies own all the big media companies. Now, I'm not going to name the names of these companies, but they're the big ones. And their interest is not to tell people the truth, not to educate, not to inform, but to propagandize and to exert manipulation and control, okay? Because they can't bring in their new world order. Oops, I meant to say the Great Reset. Unless they keep people hypnotized. And see, so whether it's the sustainable development scam or whatever it is, these are just scams designed to create their new world order or global reset or whatever you want to call it. Now, these just two investment firms have ownership in 1,600 American major companies. And they have combined revenues. Listen to this. They have combined revenues of $9.1 trillion. And then, even though it's just two that are controlling everything, there is a third contender for global ownership. So the third one is not quite as big as the first two, but the third one, by the time they're finished controlling everything, in addition with the third investment firm, they own all of big tech, basically all of big tech, all of the internet companies. Now, this is the point where people stop in their pilgrimage for truth because they're scared to press the boundaries. They're actually controlled. Think about this. They're so weak in their ability to have their own opinion, to know their own mind, that they allow themselves to be controlled by puppet masters. They allow themselves to become puppets. And so, out of fear of being demonized, out of fear of being accused of being a conspiracy theorist, they won't press the boundaries and really do their research. And what you will find is that at the top of this global economic monopoly, at the top of this global reboot takeover, at the very top, it's just a handful. We're not even, yeah, there's the 1%, but then there's the 4% of the 1%. You know what I'm saying? These globalist elite families, some of them royal families whose wealth and holdings go back centuries and centuries, especially in Europe. Oil barons, steel barons, I mean, people who have accumulated massive, massive wealth, not just the Rothschilds, many others. And they are the people that control the world. Now, in the Bible, when it talks about Mystery Babylon, it talks about how all the richest merchants and richest men and women and the wealthiest and most powerful were all fornicating with the great harlot, Mystery Babylon. What do you think that means? It's talking about the globalist elite, the richest and most powerful people in the world in every sphere of society, becoming one spiritually with the great harlot, Mystery Babylon, which is this temporary satanic world system. Why is it a temporary satanic world system? because Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus is not going to allow Satan to continue to rule over planet Earth much longer. The signs of the times are evident. Jesus Christ, who is the only King of Kings and Lord of Lords, has promised to return in his second coming. And when Jesus Christ returns in his second coming, he's going to destroy the temporary rule of Satan, and he's going to destroy the mystery Babylon system. He's going to destroy it. And when he comes to destroy it, he will be the rightful owner, once again, of planet Earth. And he will rule and reign planet Earth with King David from Jerusalem in Israel. And Jerusalem will be the new capital of planet Earth. So, as Christians, we need to have a knowledge of not only what the Bible says, but we have to have a knowledge of how the Bible integrates into economics, government, politics, art, culture, science, and a whole spectrum of things. And we have to understand that there is a mystery Babylon system, and that there is and has been for thousands of years a network of secret societies passing on secret and occult knowledge, which have allowed those people who are serving Satan to rule the world. So what do you and I do about it? You and I have to get into the arena. You and I have to get into the spiritual battle. You and I have to get into the spiritual warfare. Because, look, I'm not going to beat around the bush. Time's running out. God is calling you to fulfill your destiny, to fulfill and complete your assignment. God is calling you. He's calling you right now, or you wouldn't be listening. The reason that something inside of you responds to something in the message that I'm communicating, the reason there's a connection here is not accidental. There's a divine connection here, because this is not a coincidence. This is a divine arrangement that God wanted you to hear this message at this time, whether you receive it or not. Seeds have been planted. Let's remember, God teaches us in his word that you and I were called for such a time as this before the foundation of the world, and that he knew us before our mother and father, the seed and egg connected. God knew us before that. And so God equipped us in our DNA. God equipped us with the spiritual gifts and the natural gifts and the talents and abilities necessary so we could complete our destiny, our assignment, our mission. And when I say that, there should be a stirring in your inner man or inner woman. And there is a stir. Like right now, there's a stirring in your inner man and inner woman. And there's a reciprocal stirring in my inner man, because I sense the Spirit of God at work. I sense the Spirit of God at work in me, at work in this ministry, and I sense the Spirit of God at work in you. So why do you think that is? Well, I think, you know, I don't claim to know all the answers. I'm not on some giant ego trip. I'm a seeker of the truth, just like you are. Maybe I've had the privilege of studying and being taught the Bible by people in a way that not everybody gets that opportunity. So that does give me an advantage, but it's an advantage given to me not so that my ego could be stroked. It's an advantage given to me so that I may be a true servant, emphasis on the word servant, of Jesus Christ. Because if you're really a disciple of Jesus Christ, you're a servant of Christ. Okay, so let me read you this, okay? In Revelation chapter 17, it says, starting at verse 5, And on, no, let's start it. Start at verse 1. Revelation 17, verse 1. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and talked with me, saying to me, "Come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication." So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. And on her forehead a name was written, "Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth." And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement. So you see here that then in chapter 18, it's talking about the fall of Mystery Babylon, and how the world mourns Mystery Babylon's fall. Let me read you something from Revelation 18, starting at verse 11. No, starting at verse 9, regarding the fall of Mystery Babylon. "The kings of the earth who committed fornication and live luxuriously with her will weep and lament for her when they see the smoke of her burning, standing at a distance for fear of her torment, saying, 'Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour your judgment has come.' And the merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her, for no one buys their merchandise anymore, merchandise of gold and silver, precious stones and pearls, fine linen and purple, silk and scarlet, every kind of citron wood, every kind of object of ivory, every kind of object of most precious wood, bronze, iron, and marble, and cinnamon, and incense, fragrant oil, and frankincense, wine and oil, fine flour, wheat, cattle, and sheep, horses and chariots, and bodies and souls of men." That's like sex trafficking. "The fruit that your soul longed for has gone from you, and all the things which are rich and splendid have gone from you, and you shall find them no more at all. The merchants of these things who became rich by her will stand at a distance for fear of her torment, weeping and wailing and saying, 'Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen, purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls.'" And then it talks about the fact that Mystery Babylon has fallen. But you notice that the kings of the earth, the great politicians, the powerful, they're committing fornication with the harlot, Mystery Babylon. And then it says in verse 11, the merchants of the earth, the super billionaires, the trillionaires, the globalist elite, they're fornicating Mystery Babylon. And they're weeping over the fall of Mystery Babylon. So what you see here is a revelation that this whole corrupt world system is built upon the satanic power of Mystery Babylon. There's a energizing force behind it. But you know, a chapter or two after that in the Bible, you see that Jesus Christ is returning from heaven on a white horse, and he's returning with the armies of heaven with him. And that's pretty powerful. Revelation 19, verse 11. "Now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and see, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself, He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations. And he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Wow. Wow. King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he's coming. So what does that mean for you and me? You're listening to me, Paul McGuire, someplace in the United States, someplace in South America, someplace in Europe or Russia or Asia or Africa or Australia or New Zealand or France, anywhere from California to New York, North Dakota. I don't know where you're listening from, but you're listening. And God has arranged for you to hear this message because God is calling out his elect to get out of Babylon spiritually. The Spirit of God is calling you to get out of Babylon spiritually. Now, remember, I said spiritually. I didn't say positionally. He may be calling you to get out of Babylon positionally. But that's... You have to determine that by seeking the Lord. But he's definitely calling you to get out of Babylon, to not be among those that are fornicating with the harlot of Babylon. And what does that mean? Well, what it means quite simply is this, is that the Spirit of God is right now, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, Spirit of truth, is right now dealing, ministering to your inner man or inner woman. And you know that, and you can feel and sense the Holy Spirit of Almighty God coming down upon you now. You can sense the Spirit of God dealing with your heart and convicting you. The Lord is not, now let me say this emphatically, the Lord has not come to you now to condemn you. And I want to repeat that. The Lord has not come to you now to condemn you. The Lord is coming to you now to call you to fulfill your ministry and to call you to fulfill your assignment. The Lord is calling you now to come to him by faith, not of works. The basis upon which you come to God is through the blood of Jesus Christ and repentance of your sin. You're cleansed by the blood. That makes it possible for you to come to God, to come to Jesus Christ, through what's called a new and living way, which is different than the old way of the Old Testament, which was to come to God through your works and obedience. The new and living way that God is making available to you is based on the blood of Jesus Christ. So you and I right now can respond to Jesus as he calls us, and make no mistake about it, you're not imagining it. He is calling you. Yeah, he's calling you now. He's calling me now to enter into his presence, to come boldly to the throne of grace. Why do we come boldly? Because we're cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Our righteousness is not of works, lest any man should boast. Our righteousness is something we receive by faith, and we receive the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus by faith. So God is calling you and me now, and to all who would listen, the Spirit of God is ministering to you. You can sense his presence. You can sense the pull of his presence, as you can sense he's pulling you towards him. And he's not pulling you towards him to punish you. He's pulling you towards him to embrace you and as you choose to let go of your fear, as you choose to let go of your unbelief, and as you choose to obey the Lord by faith, and you come into his presence, now all of us have to do, when I say have to do, I'm not talking about legalistically. I'm talking about the fact that for a true believer in Christ, like you, like me, there's nothing we can do but worship the Lord as kind of like an automatic, joyous response, so that when we come into the presence of the Lord, we just automatically worship the Lord in spirit and truth. So the Lord is calling us to do that right now. Why? Because as we worship the Lord in spirit and truth, God will fortify us, edify us, empower us, break bondages, heal, provide, sustain, and infuse us and clothe us with power on high, so that through the Spirit of God alone, not by might, not by strength, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. So the Spirit of God has come now to set us free from trying to do this on our own might, strength, or intellect. Because it's not by might. It's not by our self-struggle, but it's by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. So as God is calling you now, join with me, and people all over the world in the United States, join with me in praising the Lord. Just briefly, let's worship the Lord together. Jesus, we praise you. We worship your name, God. We praise you, Lord, because you're King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We praise you, Jesus, because the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed us from all sin. And therefore, we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We praise you, Lord, now that we've come before you in your presence. And right now, Lord, we praise you because you're pouring out your Holy Spirit upon us like you prophesied in Acts chapter 2 and Joel chapter 2, when you said you would pour out your Spirit on all flesh. Lord, we praise you for that right now in the name of Jesus. We praise you for pouring out your Spirit on us like you did the early disciples. We praise you for clothing us with power from on high, Jesus. And we worship you, Lord. We ask that we thank you for filling us and sanctifying us, God. We thank you for cleansing us of any anger, resentment, bitterness, or jealousy. We thank you for releasing us from those bondages. We thank you for cleansing us with your blood so that, Lord, right now, the rivers of living water are being released right now out of your inmost being. The rivers of living water are pouring out of your inner man or your inner woman, replenishing not only yourself, but all the people that God sends you to. And so as you worship God, and as you praise God and magnify his name, he gives you the supernatural power, the supernatural ability, and the supernatural strength and energy to fulfill your call, to be faithful to your assignment, to accomplish your mission. See, all of that is being deposited in you and released in you to the degree that you worship the Lord and release it to the Lord and come into the Lord's presence. So we praise you for the release of your miraculous power in the lives of so many people dynamically all over the world, all over the United States and other countries, Lord. Thank you for releasing your power. Thank you for releasing the rivers of living water, God. We praise your name, Jesus. Praise your name, Jesus. And there may be some that wrestle with doubt as we pray like this because it's different and strange to you. Well, God's kind and God's gracious. And remember, change and transformation mean just that. The Lord is changing you. He's growing you. He's transforming you. And you have to look at these. You should never be afraid of that as long as it's in accordance with His Word. And that's your tool. That's your safety guide, the Word of God. So I want to praise the Lord with you for what He's doing in our midst. The goal and call of this ministry is to reach the world, reach other nations, reach every state in the United States with messages like this that set believers and non-believers free, that win souls to Jesus Christ, that ignite the fires of a biblical revival. That's our purpose, to win people to Jesus Christ. And so, like I just shared with you, there's a powerful satanic globalist elite of less than 1% of the Earth's population that controls 90% of all the assets and resources and dominates and controls all of 90% of the media. And they're waging war against people like me. Small ministries. We're being attacked for what crime? The crime of preaching the gospel, because it's not politically correct. And so I need your prayers, because this is a spiritual warfare. Don't expect the globalist elite to pray for me. It's not going to happen. I need your prayers to pray for me, my family, and this ministry. I need intercessory prayer warriors like you. That's how we outrun the globalist elite. And I thank each and every one of you for your faithfulness to pray for us. And I need people to spread our message far and wide and to use their talents and abilities and understanding the way the internet works and social media works to help us magnify, to help us spread our message, and to do an end run around censorship. You, yes, I'm talking to you. You know, a lot of you don't realize how gifted you are. You can do things that people like me can't do because you've been gifted in different ways. And I need your help in these ways. And I thank you for those of you that have been obedient to that. And one way you can help, because it's a numbers game. Remember, we're dealing with lies versus truth. So they rig my numbers and other people's numbers. The purpose of the rigging of the numbers is to demonize and marginalize anyone who's speaking the truth. Because you're creating the illusion that they're irrelevant. They don't give the real numbers because the real numbers would say the opposite of the numbers they're rigging. So I need you, and every one of you could help in this, to actually join the Facebook pages. If you can't get on to the personal Facebook page, Paul McGuire, then get on to the public Facebook page, because the personal Facebook page only holds a maximum of 5,000 people. So if you can't get in on that one, go to the Paul McGuire public figure Facebook page, and you can join and follow, and there's no numerical limit. Otherwise, I'm stuck with artificial numbers. And like, and join, and follow, and that would be the same thing with YouTube and Facebook and other social media. It's imperative that you sign on, to our eBlast list. It's important that you sign on to our special exclusive YouTube releases by joining the YouTube channel and joining and liking Facebook and following on all of that. I cannot tell you how much I need your help in that area. I really don't want to talk about specifics, but I have one very prominent video channel where my numbers have been 23,400, whatever they call it, followers of this video channel. But it's been at 23,400 for 7 years. Are you telling me that you can honestly say we haven't added one single person to the 23,400 people we have. And it's like that with the other stuff. And it's not just me. It's happening to everyone who's speaking the truth. So if you don't stand with us and behind us, you can't do it. Because those numbers need to be increased, and only you can increase them. Not for the purposes of ego. I don't give a hoot. But the numbers are a strategy to demonize and marginalize or promote the individuals they want marginalized, and to uplift and promote the individuals they want promoted and exposed. But I need your help. It's your serious help and commitment. I don't mean to sound rude, but don't take ministries like this for granted. They literally may not be here tomorrow morning. I have friends, some of them you know, who have ministries that have been a blessing to you. They've been ripped down without even a warning. This is real. We have politicians on both sides of the aisles who are doing absolutely nothing but blowing hard. And then finally, we are in a spiritual warfare, and I need you to not play church. I need you to simply go to God and ask God, Jesus, what would you have me contribute or donate financially to Paul McGuire Ministries of Paradise Mountain Church? And don't force it. I'm not here to manipulate you. I'm not here to fake it. I trust that if you'll truly pray to God, that the Lord will speak to you. And that all I ask is that you really pray to God, and then whatever the Lord puts on your heart, that you obey him. It's just that simple. So thank you. And don't let me leave without thanking you. I realize that these are tough times. I really do. We're all experiencing the waves of chaos, which are being artificially generated, by the way. But together, small number of people, if they come together in true biblical unity, can transform the world. I would like to see us to do that. God bless you. This is Paul McGuire. You're in my prayers. I am your brother in Christ. And yes, I am your servant in Christ. Visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us.